B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Every Tuesday, we love talking football with our next guests. Kind of hash it out, go through it. Our man from the Inquirer, Inquirer.com, Jeff McClain. Jeffrey, good afternoon, brother.
Good afternoon. What's going on?
It's weird that I thought, and I got chastised a little bit from a buddy of mine, because I thought the fact that they came back and won that game, I took a little something out of that. I thought, listen, you know, they're dealing with the loss of Goddard, right, which I think hurt their offense a lot. And, you know, a game like that, usually that's the hallmark of a good team when you win. This league is hard, and you know it. It's a long season. You're going to go through down stretches. So if you could pull a loss, right, that you could, if you could pull a win out of the jaws of a loss, I think that's impressive.
Yeah, no, a road game as well. Look back at teams that have won Super Bowls, or look back at even the Eagles teams that have gone to the Super Bowl. They've had wins like these. I mean, 2004, they needed overtime and a 50-yard field goal to beat a really bad Browns team. 2017, you needed a 61-yard field goal from Jake Elliott to beat a 3-win Giants team. I mean, this happens over the course of the season. You're not going to have your best stuff week in and week out, and certainly the Eagles didn't have their best stuff against the Colts. And, you know, that being said, are there some areas that you have to be concerned about? And was the game called well by Nick Sirianni and Shane Steichen? I would say no.
I would agree.
But they still found a way. And yes, as you mentioned, you know, there are injuries now that they've had to deal with, and they haven't really done a great job of replacing those guys. But not every team can do that. Not every team has the depth to do that. And, you know, certainly this past week, Howie Roseman went and addressed it by getting Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh to shore up the run defense. And, you know, aside from that first drive, they did a pretty good job.
So I want to get into a couple things here. One, you mentioned the play calling. I agree with you. I didn't like the play calling at all. What's the infatuation with Boston Scott?
Yeah, that was a little odd that they went three there. And honestly, all season they haven't really gone to Boston Scott.
I know.
He's been the third guy. So, I need to find out more if that was kind of a situational thing, or if, maybe something was happening with Miles. So that was a little odd. If we're talking specifically about the play calling, I know they went with less of the 13 personnel than they have previously this year, but that really hasn't been much of a winning personnel package for them. And then to do it when Dallas Goedert is hurt and Tyree Jackson first game in a while kind of just didn't really make sense to me.
Not at all.
And then you saw finally they figured it out, second half to go with more 11 personnel. I mean, so, you know, the guy, I think.
Like, why would you think, like, that's what was surprising to me is, like, why would you think, why would you do that? Like, knowing you have no Goddard, why would you go that route?
My guess is that maybe they thought that they could trick the Colts, who thought that maybe they wouldn't do it. I just think you're out thinking yourself.
Yeah, I do too.
I was thinking, you're leaning on your 12 and 13 personnel more than a lot of other teams. So to do it, to drastically get away from it, maybe they felt like that would have been too much. But, you know, I got to agree with you. I just didn't understand when you... You know, you still have really good options, certainly a wide receiver. You have a running back. When you have those guys, I just understand why you're trying to lean on the tight ends as much in that situation. And, you know, aside from the play call and then some other curious calls, I thought on third and twos, and then you had the first play, the shot play that that the blocking assignments were all messed up. And that's a play design thing. I don't think that's a player thing in terms of responsibilities, and to have Miles Sanders have to block defensive end for 5 seconds. That's on the coaches. And then the game management of Nick Sirianni and the uses of timeouts and fourth down calls. And that was kind of a mess to me. I know
I agree. I didn't get that at all.
It was bizarre. And this is why I think it's bizarre, because he'd been so good. I mean, I don't think I really wrote down in my notepad for the first 9 games many times where I felt like I had to go into the post game press conference and be like, hey, Nick, why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? And this time there were like maybe four or five instances of that. And I felt like in almost each occasion, he didn't really go with what maybe the analytical community would suggest he does. And even in terms of gut, I don't know how anyone thinks that you should go for it on 4th and 10, at the opposing team's 39. So I don't know if this is an emotional game for him. Letting on about Frank Reich, and maybe he allowed that to get to him. I felt like maybe when we spoke to him on Friday, kind of just noticed a bit, maybe he seemed a little more tense than maybe. I don't know. That could be just an anecdotal thing.
No, but, I mean, that kind of would make a little sense. I mean, because I was trying to figure it out, too.
About that, though, too.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, why would that freak you out?
Yeah, because I don't think the coach should be riding the emotions of like that, or jumping up on a bench and yelling at your fans at that SHIT is for look, Nick's a fiery guy, passionate. I think that can certainly galvanize a locker room, and there's a lot of good things to like in terms of his personality. And he's talked about this before. He can't let his emotions, especially his outward emotions, allow take over how he kind of reacts around his teams, and then they start following his players, and they start following his cues, and you allow that to affect how you call a game. Because I felt like in those situations that he just kind of made some really bizarre calls.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, the time management thing, I don't understand a little bit. Like, dude, if you don't get in the end zone, why are you punting on the game? I mean, that was ridiculous, dude. You're gonna try to draw them off sides 2.5 yards.
That one was, I didn't really understand that one as well. He went into detail about it, and then he talked about in general terms just about, I have to have conviction in my calls, and I don't know. I would like to hear something more like fact-based. And I know a lot of people don't like the analytics.
I don't like the analytics either, but I didn't think that was football smart.
I'd rather hear that than I'd rather hear something like, hey, that it just felt like this is why I did it, because I just felt like it was something I should have done. I don't know. There isn't enough rationale for that. You burn a timeout that you could have used. Hey, it all in the end worked out for them. But so maybe they can say, hey, I showed you, I told you so. But I don't know. I think under normal circumstances, they go against you.
Yeah, I hear you. And the other thing too is, now I will say this: the play called the touchdown was a brilliant play design where everybody follows Kelsey. It's a great play design. It was a great call there, and the design was great. So I'll give him points there.
Yeah, they did better in the play calling in the last three drives. So I mean, got to give Nick and Shane credit for that. I mean, I thought the call on 4th and 2 was a good one too. Ultimately, hey, just have Jalen make a play. The guy knows how to get to the sticks and get a first down. I didn't mind that one at all as well. Obviously, it worked out. And Jalen, because again, it wasn't really blocked up perfectly. They got a little penetration there, and he had to bounce it outside. But sometimes that you just kind of got to put the ball in the hands of your best player and allow him to make a play, and that's really what happened down the stretch. And I was totally fine with that.
Man, I got to tell you, I just some of the things like I look at that their offense and listen, I get the read option, all that stuff. Sometimes they just do it to death. I want to see more attack. I need to see more. I got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. What am I getting? Why do I got to go read constantly?
Yeah, I mean, I think you want to have it. It's worked very well for them. The RPOs, I mean, they've probably been about as good as any team running those.
I realize that, but sometimes you do it to death. Like, you got to give me more. You got to be more creative. You got weapons. It's not like you don't have weapons.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So this guy's got, 11 They caught 11 of the 16 targets. Yeah, I think you needed more. You didn't have Dallas, so you got to lean on the two guys outside that are Pro Bowl caliber. Yeah, I mean, I wrote that, and I felt that as well. I mean, they went to that well a little bit in terms of, like, the best routes that they run. I mean, Devontae, that comeback route is there all the time.
He kind of
went to that a little bit too much, but, like, it's not like it's the only route that he can run. So that was my issue. Like,
yeah,
okay.
Be a little more creative comeback, with those guys,
Go to the slant with AJ. Those are routes that he'll win a lot of, but, like, I mean, these guys are multifaceted receivers that can you know, read defenses, break off their routes, and run whatever, almost any route in the route tree. So, yeah, I agree with you there. I felt a little more of the receiver usage would have benefited the offense.
So, what's the health-wise situation? We're talking to the great Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. Make sure you read him religiously in the Inquirer, inquirer.com. What's their health situation look like now?
Yeah, I guess the three guys you're worried about are Jordan Davis.
Yeah.
He can come back for the Titans game. I think he'll, in theory, be ready, but he may need a week, maybe, to get in the game shape. But you also, with now Linval Joseph here, you don't really have to, you know,
rush him.
Rely on him as much. Yeah, not even rush him, but, like, even if he comes back, you know, don't have to play him a certain amount of snaps. So I think his progress is going well. Avante Maddox is, I'm not so sure about that one, and that's the one I think.
That's a little worrisome right there. Yeah, I agree.
Tyus Scott did not have a good game.
Uh-huh.
He makes plays every now and then, but teams have gone out.
Avante Maddox is terrific in the slot, man. I agree with you. I think they miss him big.
Yep. And then Dallas, they're hoping to have him back by the Bears, and if not, the following week against the Cowboys. But that's an issue. I think that's the biggest one,
yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you see it. They miss him. I was talking about it, you know, obviously on Monday, just how much they miss him. It's obvious. You know, he's a huge part of their offense, and he's a good blocker, too.
Yeah, and then on top of that, like, you know, it's tight. Yeah, most teams don't have the luxury of having two good tight ends like the Eagles did last year when Zach Ertz was here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when Dallas did miss a little bit of time last year, you know, we got Zach. Zach will just carry the load like he normally does. But with Jack Stoll, who's more of a blocking tight end, Grant Calcaterra is more of a receiving tight end, and he's young. So when those guys are out there, it's like, you know, if you're a defense, you're like, okay, well, this guy's not going to run a route, or they're not going to go to him with a first or second read. And when Grant's out there, like, well, this guy's not going to stay in and block, so they're obviously passing here. So that hurts you, because with Dallas, you never know, because he can do both so well. So that's the big issue with the Eagles at that position.
So just curious, when were you surprised that Linval Joseph and Sue played as many snaps as they did? I mean, I got to tell you,
a little bit.
I mean, I was shocked about how, and man, they made an immediate impact. Like, I give that win to Howie.
Yeah, I mean, credit to Howie. I thought the Linval Joseph signing made perfect sense. In fact, I was kind of like fishing around. Someone had told me, hey, this is the guy that they would want to bring in.
Right.
And you know, I looked at all the film last year, and he even, you know, you look at it, there were certain weeks that, you know, the Chargers run defense wasn't great. They have a very similar scheme to the Eagles, though. And when asked to do what they want him to do here, which is to basically just clog that middle and eat up blockers, he can still do that and do it well. I mean, he's not only a big guy, but he's a smart guy.
Yeah.
And he's athletic. And when I was talking to him, he looked like he was in shape. He was talking about how last year he played through the elbow and shoulder injury. He got that elbow cleaned out. So made perfect sense. The Sue one, I was like, oh, okay, are we going a little bit over the top here? Is this a guy that, you know, who's been around a long time, that has been always, usually at most places that he's been the guy? Is he going to be able to come in here and not affect the chemistry and be able to take kind of a subservient role with Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargrave getting most of those reps? And, you know, he has said and done everything right, at least up to this point. And he played 17 snaps, and he was definitely getting after it. And he was a guy maybe I thought I'd be a little more concerned about whether he was in shape, because just from what I gathered, Joseph was probably a little more ready than Sue. But he played and he contributed. So, you know, credit to Howie. You know, he's going for broke here. I mean, this is a team that clearly they feel like can do something and do something in the postseason and possibly win a Super Bowl. And, you know, he hasn't shied away. The one now that you're wondering is about the Robert Quinn trade before the deadline. That's the one that maybe you know, everyone was excited about.
But in fairness, when you look at the last two games, they just you got, for Robert Quinn to be effective, you got to be in third and eight and third and nines, and there wasn't a lot of that the last couple games.
Yeah, a little more this past game, especially after that first drive, they were able to get him to pass obvious down. Mm-hmm. But they're not really playing him a huge amount either.
Yeah.
And, you know, he talked a lot about terminology and getting used to things, and he played in this similar defense to some respects 2 years ago, last year with the Bears. But, you know, it might just take some time. It's tough to go out there and do something with only 10 reps.
Yeah, I just also look at, you know, to me, with the kind of situation – guys are in. Ryan's not going to hold the ball. Like, he's going to get rid of the football. Like, he's a guy that, you know, you need the quarter, the 5-7 step drop, and he's going to try to go get you off the edge. I mean, that's what he's always been.
Yeah. And when you look at these three guys too, I mean, like, okay, would you rather have Robert Quinn as your fifth guy or, you know, one of the younger
right.
guys that are no longer? I'd rather have Robert Quinn. And when you look at the defensive tackle rotation, okay, would you rather have, you know, Marlon Tulaputo, he's probably out now for the season. He's going to have surgery to repair a torn meniscus. Would you rather have him or would you have Ndamukong Suh? So, I mean, yeah, I think it's pretty obvious where you want to go with that. So, yeah, it's hard to really be critical of those signings. I mean, my only concern, I've been around long enough to see when you brought in big-name guys, sometimes that hasn't really panned out well because other people kind of, it starts to affect the culture. But if you keep winning, it's not going to be a problem.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you. And listen, here's how I look at it too. I look at it like you're in. It's not costing you a ton. I mean, look at Quinn, right? You get basically get a free look at him, right? So, you know, what you're trying to do is you're just trying to maximize an opportunity. You know, you're still the core of your team is still going forward, and you're just going to piecemeal every year with like some decent bargains type of thing.
The rentals.
That's
the
it.
Rentals for the rentals for the run.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and that's it. And then you won't see him next year.
Right. Which I think is smart. You take a shot. Now, I will say this, and we talked about it. You and I, we have discussed this. There are three teams, the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Niners. And the other team, the Cowboys, at least they looked ridiculous. And the Niners are the team that I keep looking at, man, because the Niners are the team.
You and I have been talking about that for weeks.
Yeah. And they look like they're, I think they're going to go on a streak. And, you know, I mean, last night was a foregone conclusion with McCoy quarterback. But still, they just look really good. And, you know, it's funny. I'm watching them and I keep going back to Garoppolo saying, why in the world would they not have started the season with Garoppolo and you go to Trey Lance? That made no sense to me. None.
Well, because they expended a first round pick on
him. I know, but like the Garoppolo clearly gives you a better opportunity. And listen, all he's got to do is hit guys in stride with what he's doing. And with a run game and those weapons, it makes perfect sense just to have a guy that can manage it.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing too, like, I mean, the NFC is not super deep.
No.
But over the course of a season, things start to kind of become a little more clear, and we're seeing the cream rise. Now, the 49ers certainly had some pretty ugly losses early in the season. They have had their share of injuries, and of course they had the
quarterback
thing that they had to endure. But in terms of talent and that defense and you know, scheme wise, I mean, you have two really good play callers on both sides of Kyle Shanahan and DeMeco Ryans. So yeah, I mean, that team is a threat, and the Cowboys is a threat as well. I mean, as we know, and the Eagles kind of, I wouldn't say they scraped by them, but you know, that wasn't a waltz for them, especially in the second half, and that was against Cooper Rush and not Dak Prescott. So, yeah, I mean, that's what's going to be. I mean, look, I don't think anyone thinks this Eagles team is like world beaters yet, but they're good. They're clearly good, and you don't go 9-1 without being pretty good on both sides of the ball. And it's going to be, you know, the rest of the season, we'll see. I think we're going to see probably more of these types of games than we saw in the first half of the season as teams adapt to what the Eagles have done. But, yeah, certainly the number one. They got a one-game lead in terms of the bye, and that's over the Vikings, who they also have an additional one because they beat them head-to-head. And they have a two-game lead over the Giants, who I think are going to probably tail off a little bit here, and the Cowboys. And it could come down to that Christmas Eve game, but I still think they're in pretty good position with, what, seven games to go here.
Yeah, I think, real quick, last thing. We had a caller talk about the link, saying that the link has been abnormally, I don't know about quiet is the word, but he said it's lacked the usual, loudness or whatever, festive kind of feel to it. Do you notice that? Is it more subdued?
Sometimes it's tough from the press box. I will say I heard from other people that, and even like, people affiliated with the team, that the last game against Washington was subdued. Now, obviously, they trailed early, right, and that can affect the team, but like also they were looking up and seeing a lot of empty seats at certain points later as the game kind of went on. I thought the place was super electric, though, for the Cowboys game. And for that Monday night game against the Vikings. So,
I think
it's been a season long thing. That might have been like, I don't know, maybe there was fatigue from the Phillies run.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, no, I think it's real. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so, I'm sure the Sunday night will be hopping. They got now they got these black unis with the helmets.
Yeah.
And, hey, Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers, and that's a game you can't take for granted.
I agree. Hey, Jeff, great stuff as always, brother. Listen, happy Thanksgiving to you and the family.
Absolutely.
All right.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Be safe, buddy. Thanks. That's Jeff McClain, inquire.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.